Each month in our online community, we have a theme, and the theme for this month, for July, is engaging with the Bible. And when we hear the topic engaging with the Bible, some of us, our immediate reaction will be, yes, that's fantastic. I just love the scriptures. I engage with it regularly and easily, and it really changes my life and sustains my spiritual walk. For others of us, it was almost the immediate response is, oh no, almost a sense of failure or guilt, or I used to read the Bible a lot, but I don't anymore, or I find it really hard to read the Bible. I know I'm supposed to. And so we can have this range of responses when we think about engaging with the Bible, can't we? And the reality is that for almost all of us, we are usually in one of those places or the other of those places at different times in our lives. There are times and seasons in our lives where we're really engaged with the scriptures, and other times where we just can't seem to even crack open the Bible to read it, even for a few moments. And so, firstly, we just need to recognize that that's the reality, and not to be weighed down by guilt, and not to be weighed down by all of these burdens that we think we then need to then pick up again. But rather, we want to have a fresh look at engaging with the Bible. We want to lift off the burden of guilt, and we want to see if we can engage with the Bible in fresh ways. And the first thing I want to do is I always want to refer to a couple of key passages. One is in Joshua chapter 1, where God is talking to Joshua after Moses has died, and now Joshua is being commissioned to lead the people into the promised land. And the second is from Jesus. And so in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 8, it says this: "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night." And that's the bit that often we will remember when we're referring to those verses. And then again, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine." And our focus can be on the reading and on the meditating and on the hearing. But those verses don't stop there. They go on like this. "Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." And Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And it talks about how the rain comes down and the flood comes and the house stays secure. So the first thing we need to really say when we're thinking about engaging with the Bible is it's not about how much of the Bible we read. It's not whether you've read it all the way through multiple times or whether you've read only bits of it. The thing that counts is how much of it we put into practice, how much it shapes who we are, how much it helps us understand who God is and what God's about, and the way we should then live, and the grace that God has for us, and the purposes God has for us. And we let it shape our thinking, and we let it shape our feeling, and we let it shape our acting and our interacting. You see, it's not about the quantity of the Bible you read, whether you can read it in the original languages and know it back to front and upside down. You can do all of that, you can read it regularly, but not actually let it change you at all. And so that's the great freedom. You see, you might think, well, I'm not a great reader, or I'm not a great listener, or I'm not a great watcher. And that's okay. Some people really are, and they really get into that. But that's not the thing that we're trying to do. You see, reading and watching and listening is an important step, but it's not the end goal. You see, it's about how do we engage with the scriptures, and so that we can put it, what it reveals to us, into practice so that our lives are changed and transformed. Now, fortunately for us, if we are people that don't like to read books, well, we can get electronic versions of the Bible at a drop of a hat. And for those of us who don't like to read things on our screens, we can get physical copies of the Bible in multiple places, multiple translations. For those of us who don't like reading so much, we can hear we can get audio versions of the Bible and listen to them, and we can get them even for free on places like YouVersion. And for those of us who prefer to watch things, well, we can see dramatizations of the Gospels in the Lumo Project on YouTube and in various other places as well. You see, we have wide and vaster ways of accessing the Bible today more than any time in history. And that's a great thing, isn't it? But the trick is, and the trouble is, we also have many more distractions than we ever did before. There's multiple streaming platforms, there's social media accounts to keep up to date with, there's news, there's TV, there's lots of things going on in our lives. And although we have this greater access to the Bible, we also have greater numbers of things clamoring for our attention. And so when we think about engaging with the Bible in fresh ways, the first thing we can do is just do a bit of an audit on our own lives and say, well, what are the things that grab my attention the most? What are the things that fill my mind the most? What are the things that I find it most easily drawn to? What are the things that I'm forced to draw to because of life circumstances or work or whatever? And then what are the things that when I have a few spare minutes, I just default to those ones? And understanding what are the things that are grabbing our attention means that we then have a chance maybe sometime in July to put off watching episode 453 or season 600 of Our Friends just for a few days so we can engage with the Bible in a fresh way. And the second thing is to be aware of the sort of personality types we are. Some of us are really super organized and we find it easy to get into a routine and stay in a routine and we do the same thing and we have the same cup of tea every morning at exactly the same time and we read the Bible, we pray at exactly the same time every day. And some of us who are less like that, who are much more, tend to go with the flow a bit, and we can look at people like that and think, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, and I can never do that. And similarly, if we are the sort of organized people and we look at other people who just sort of, you know, will just in an unplanned way suddenly engage in the Bible for a lot of time or whatever else, we think, well, I can't do that. I've got too many things on my to-do list. And so again, understanding the sort of people we are and not comparing ourselves to different people and thinking that's the way that they do it is the way that I must do it. You see, it's not the quantity and it's not the method, it's the outcome that's important. How do we let the scriptures get into us in ways that help change us and renew us and sustain us and guide us in our lives? But that's the trick, isn't it? The first thing, it actually has to get into us. And then we have to respond. And so during July, we're going to encourage people to engage with the Bible in maybe ways you don't regularly do that. It's about taking it from a fresh perspective and a fresh angle and trying some things that you maybe don't do regularly or you maybe haven't tried at all. Now, we're not saying you should do all of these things forever and a day, but they are going to be different ways of engaging with the Bible than you normally do. And what you can find is that when you try something a bit different, it will suddenly refresh your engagement with the Bible and help you come to into a new season of fruitful engagement. And that's what it's all about. It's not about making us all of a sudden cookie cutters of this is the way we always are going to do it now. It's of fulfilling some expectations of this is what you must do to read the Bible. But no, thinking about different ways of doing it, because it's so worth engaging in the scriptures. Because Jesus said, if you hear my words and put them into practice, it'll help you, sustain you through the storms and the floods of life. You know, the same thing God is saying to Joshua, you know, put these words into practice. It'll be a great benefit to you. One of the things that we are doing with our kids in July is we're helping them grasp an overview of the whole story of the Bible. You see, the Bible isn't a rule book, it's actually a story. And by story, we don't mean like a fictional story, but what we mean is it's a story that has a beginning and the middle and the end of what humanity's about, what God's doing in human history. And if we can keep in mind the overview of the whole story of the Bible, that helps us understand different parts of it. Maybe you think about a film that you've read or watched numbers of times. You know how it begins and what goes in the middle and you know how it ends, but you still really enjoy watching the movie because you like going on the sweep of the story and the saga of the story and getting to the place where it all comes to a culmination and it's a wonderful ending. But the other good thing about having films like that is that maybe, you know, you get home late from work and you walk into the lounge room and the film's already been going for 30 minutes. Well, you already are familiar with the story, so you can feel like, well, I can just plonk myself down there next to the rest of my family and pick up where we're up to in the story and go on from there. And if we have in our minds a clear understanding of the whole story of the Bible, it's exactly like that. When we can open to a certain part of it and we go, okay, I know roughly where we are in the overall story, and that will help me understand it and pick up from where we are and to go on from there. And there are a variety of different ways that we can keep the overall story of the Bible in mind. But one of the ways we've talked about before is the 10 steps, if you like, or the 10 stages that help us provide the framework for us to remember where the story of the Bible is going. And it starts firstly with creation, where God makes everything and he makes it good and he makes humans with a special role in it. And then humans say, well, we want to do it without you, God, and there's consequences of that and lots of things go wrong and there's evil and wickedness that spread throughout all of humanity. And then God picks Abraham and says, I'm going to take you to a place and I'm going to bless you, and through you all of the nations are going to be blessed. And in fact, God then makes a covenant with Abraham that he's going to promise, keep his promises to do these things. And so God begins to, through Abraham's descendants, they turn into the nation of Israel, but they are in slavery in Egypt. And so God raises up Moses to lead them out of slavery, and that's the Exodus. That's the fourth stage. So creation, where God makes everything, the fall, the covenant, and then the Exodus. And that really takes us through the first two chapters of the Bible, first two books of the Bible, through Genesis and Exodus. And then the Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy cover the period where the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land. And then they eventually get to the Promised Land and they start to enter into it in Joshua. And then they are in the Promised Land, but they aren't an organized nation as such in Judges. And then they cry out to God for a king. And then God gives them a king, and the kingdom is established. First through Saul, he didn't work out so well, and then through David and Solomon. And that's the fifth stage. God establishes the kingdom of Israel. So it's creation, fall, covenant, Exodus, kingdom. Now, after David is king, then his son Solomon becomes king after him, and he constructs the temple. And that's the sixth stage. And the significant thing, the mobile tabernacle of the wilderness wanderings has now become a permanent temple in Jerusalem. But after Solomon, things go pear-shaped in the kingdom, and it splits in half, and some kings are good and some kings are bad. Some kings follow God, others don't follow God. And God says, if you don't sort out your ways, you're going to go into exile. And after hundreds of years, eventually they do, and the temple is tragically destroyed. But decades later, God starts bringing them back to the land and reestablishes the nation, and they rebuild the temple. But they are waiting for God's Messiah. They're waiting for God to truly rescue them and to finish the exile once and for all. And after a period of about 400 years where it seemed like God wasn't doing much, all of a sudden, Jesus arrives on the scene. And that's the eighth step. So we've had the creation, the fall, covenant, Exodus, kingdom, temple, exile, and now Christ has come. And we go through the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and then he pours out his spirit and establishes his church, his multi-ethnic new family of God, and those people spread out throughout the whole world telling everybody about the good news of Jesus. And then the Bible finishes by looking ahead in the book of Revelation to the day when God finally defeats all of evil and he makes everything new again, and there's no mourning or crying or pain. And the great purposes of God that were intended from the very beginning for humans to live with God and to rule over creation for God finally are restored, and there is a glorious future. So they're the 10 steps of the Bible that help us remember a book that was written over thousands of years that covers a huge period of time but hangs together as one coherent story. And as we remember that, we can then go to different parts of it and we can pick up where we are in that story. So I encourage you this July to have a go at some of the challenges, weekly challenges we're going to suggest you have a go at. It's okay if you have a go and you don't quite get them done. Don't beat yourself over the back. It's all about us just trying to read or take in the scriptures in a fresh way. Because when we do that, we often find that God speaks to us in a fresh way and they come alive to us in a fresh way, and that changes us in a fresh way, and that's the end goal. Not how much we read, not whether we complete the challenges, but whether we engage with the scriptures in such a way that God changes our lives and helps us to walk with God in the moments of our everyday. So let's go on this journey together. Let's not get stuck in whether we fail or whatever, but let's just have a crack. Let's encourage each other. Let's share what works. Let's share what doesn't. Let's share our discoveries. Let's make suggestions. Let's encourage each other and lift each other up so that as we engage with the scriptures, we will again find the life of God flowing through us in fresh ways. Bless you.